Today, we are going to learn that the Bible calls the church to forgive the people that God has already forgiven. And that's something that we can struggle with. Because we can look at a person and know what that person has done to somebody else or maybe to you, and not want to let go of that. When fully knowing that person has repented and sought forgiveness and has been forgiven by God. Now, Paul, as we're looking through this sermon series through 2 Corinthians, Paul's dealing with some stuff. And sometimes this sermon series has not been a lot of fun because of this, the stuff that we're learning that the Apostle Paul is dealing with the Corinthians. Sometimes it's been really good because Paul just lights them up, and man, it's like the heavens break open and he's showing them the glory of heaven around them. But today, we're going to kind of be in the stuff a little bit. But that's where Paul needs to be with the Corinthian church, because he has a good history with them. It's a long history with this church, ups and downs. But many letters. We have two letters. Remember, a couple weeks ago, I've introduced to you that Paul probably actually wrote four letters to the Corinthian church. God's Holy Spirit only had us keep two of them that we know of, which we are satisfied with that. But Paul took great care in ministering to this church to make sure that what they were doing was in line with the gospel, in line with the church, and in line with scriptural teaching. Now here, we're going to look that Paul wants to ask the Corinthian church, and if they are able really to do two things. Able to show love and to see if that godly love can be tested. Now today, we're going to divide this up and look at this, and we want to begin reading at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading with verse 23. The Word of God says to us, "But I call God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. Not that we lorded over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you. For if I cause you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you." Let's pray briefly. Father, as we look now at Paul's words, Holy Spirit, guide us into the spiritual truth of these verses. Bring clarity to our hearts and to our minds. And Father, transform us into your image, the image of your Son. And Father, I thank you for every soul that's gathered into this room. And Lord, I pray that this would not only edify us, but Father, just bless us completely as we are learning from the whole counsel of your word. Thank you, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing that I want us to look at in thinking through how to divide these texts up into some kind of structure, the first thing we need to look at is godly love can be tough. Godly love can be tough. Isn't that what he's saying here in verse 4 of chapter 2? "For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you." That seems to be the primary focus of what Paul here is saying in these verses. He's saying that the letters that I've wrote, these painful letters to encourage you, to bring you to repentance, to deal with those in your church who are sinful. Those letters I wrote to you out of my heart, they caused me affliction, they caused me pain, but yet I did it because I so deeply loved you. So whenever we think about, you know, godly love, sometimes godly love can be tough. Are you able to to give godly love, that tough kind of love that the Apostle Paul had. Now here, we have to approach godly love the way the Apostle Paul approaches godly love, because some of you can love tough rather easily. I mean, it's kind of you're wired to it. But yet, it's not to love tough, it's to love godly. Not to water anything down, not to smooth anything over, but to approach a circumstance, a situation, with the utmost godly love that you can, for the purpose of repentance, for the purpose of reconciliation, for the purpose of right living and right thinking. So here, let's break these verses down a little bit and see, godly love can be tough, but its purpose is not to cause perpetual pain. Godly love's purpose is not to cause perpetual pain. Some folks just have long memories. Some churches can have long memories. But water under the bridge, if it's water under the bridge of repentance, should be exactly that. Water under the bridge. And Paul here, he's writing the church at Corinth. He is strong with them. He's wanting them to know, yes, these words that I'm writing have to be said, but he says he wants them to know that it's not to cause them perpetual pain. He says, I want to not do what I'm doing in verse 24, chapter 1, not to lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you to stand firm in your faith. You see, Paul's purpose, Paul's philosophy, Paul's plan is to, yes, deal with sin, but to deal with sin not so that it crushes the sinner, but so that it restores him or her to faith, so that it would restore that church to faith, so that it would bring godly joy to him or to her. So Paul, he wants to be clear that this approach to godly love being tough, its purpose is not to cause perpetual pain. Secondly, its purpose is to cause everlasting joy. Everlasting joy. Read chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 with me one more time. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you, for if I caused you pain, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. The purpose of giving tough love is to cause an everlasting joy, to see that person, to see that church, here specifically the Corinthian church, to see them regain their godly joy. Now, we're going to see something very specific here as we continue studying. We tend to think that Paul is writing about or to the sinner that has caused him pain and that has caused some of the church in Corinth pain. But what he's writing to, or who he's writing to, is the entire church, because the entire church is not forgiving the person who has repented and who has sought forgiveness from God and ultimately sought forgiveness from the Corinthian church. So the message here that Paul has is not to the sinner but to the church, because the church is begrudging this person, whether it be male or female. We don't know who it is. We don't necessarily know what he or she has done. Some conjecture has been it's the sinner from 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that married his stepmother. We just don't know that for sure. But yet, this person has certainly caused a very grievous sin, but we also know that this person has sought restitution. And Paul here is giving tough love not to the sinner, but to the church. So, tough love purpose is to cause everlasting joy. Number three, its purpose is to demonstrate a godly love, because he wants them to clearly see, verse 4, I wrote you out of much conflict and anguish of heart with many tears, not to cause you pain, but to know of the abundant love that I have for you. Tough love must come, its source must be the abundant love that you have for the person that you want to minister to. It can't come out of spite. It can't come out of hate. It can't come out of frustration. It can't come out of aggravation. It can't necessarily come out of the fact that you're fed up. It must come from a deep love that you have for the person. That is godly tough love. Paul loves the Corinthian church deeply. He ministered to them. He was with them. He's corresponding with them, arguably more than any other church that we know of during his three missionary journeys. And he has, because he has this love for them, he wants them to get this area of their church right. That when somebody fails, somebody sins, and if it affects the church as a whole or affects one person, and that person repents, then the church and the person that was offended must receive that person's forgiveness and forgive him or her. Not allow those grudges to just hold that person down, and really not hold the person that's being forgiven, but holding the person that refuses to forgive the one that's forgiven. You see, our hearts are like that, aren't they? Paul here, he's dealing with a church that is just not wanting to let go. We kind of wish we knew what this person did, but we don't. But Paul wants them to know that, hey, because I love you so much, you all have got to get this right. Every one of you. Now, godly love can be tough. Second main point here, godly love can be tested. Let's read here. Godly love can be tested. Let's read. Start reading verse 5. Now, at chapter 2. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it to me, but in some measure not to put it too severely to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough, so that you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him, for this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Godly love can be tested. Well, how can it be tested? Well, it can be tested by our obedience. Verse 9, once again, for this I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are being obedient in everything. Now, this is the second time that we know of that the Apostle Paul wrote the Corinthian church. The first letter was certainly helpful, and they must have been instilling some of those issues that Paul told them to change in the first letter. But obviously, there's still some issues in the church that have not come into the complete subjection of Jesus Christ. And here, this is certainly one of those areas. They have not subjected themselves to forgiving a person that Jesus himself has already forgiven. And he says that this godly love is a test to see that you are doing everything in accordance with God's word. Well, let's see how this works out. How are you being obedient to forgive? Well, not to reread everything in verse 5 through 10, but in verse 5 through 10, Paul tells us that the person that sinned really sinned against him. Sinned against Paul personally, and obviously affected the church in Corinth. So, are you able to forgive this person? Paul tells them, he says, for your sake and in the presence of Jesus Christ, I have already forgiven this person for what he has done. I have forgiven him. Why haven't you? Paul's demonstrating his obedience to Christ by forgiving the person who has sought Christ's forgiveness. So, he says, I have forgiven him. Now, Paul also wants to know, are you obedient in everything in your comfort to him? Notice what he says here. The punishment, verse 6, this punishment by the majority is enough. You should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Well, obviously, the Corinthian church, they acted on church discipline for this person. And it must have been effectual because the Apostle Paul saw this man's repentance and he was ready to forgive this man, and he has forgiven this man, but not the church. The church, the majority of the church, not all of them, but the majority of the church, they just wanted to lord it over this man, this person who sinned. I can't believe you did that. Wag their finger at him. No, I remember what you did. You know, in the whole church, the majority of the church, they lorded it over him. Paul says to the church, you know, this guy can be at the point where how you are punishing him can overwhelm him. And that is not the purpose of godly love. The purpose of godly love is not to overwhelm a person, but to bring a person into repentance, to bring a person into a reconciled relationship with God and with the church or with other individuals, however that may work out. It's not to overwhelm the one who is messed up. Who in here hasn't messed up? Please raise your hand. Aren't you glad that those around you forgive you? Aren't you glad that those around you can chalk it up to a bad day or not enough coffee or whatever, right? But isn't it miserable whenever you don't get the forgiveness? Isn't it miserable when that can just overwhelm a person? And you see, as the body of Christ, that is not the nature of Christ. You know, clearly the Bible says that whenever he forgives, sins are taken as far as from the east to the west. God doesn't remind the person of the sin. The accuser will, but not God. He has forgiven a person of sin in Christ. Now, here, this is an issue. The church, Paul says, the people in Corinth, you all at this point should be in the comforting stage of the one who has repented. You should be in the process of encouraging him, building him back up, praying for him, discipling him, and all you're doing is still punishing him for something that he has already repented of and has been forgiven of. Well, it brings us to now this third point under godly love being tested by our discernment. Notice what he says here. Anyone whom you forgive, I forgive also. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we should not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. I'm going to read a quote that I read by a man named Dr. Kiftemacher. He's a Presbyterian, but I tell you what, we're going to learn from him, okay? Because here's what he says. He says, quote, "The devil hates forgiveness and Christian love. He wants to see despondency, despair, and darkness, because in that atmosphere he is able to reclaim a sinner." Now let that just soak a minute. Somebody has wronged Paul. Somebody has wronged the Corinthian church. This person has been disciplined. This person has sought forgiveness, and the church refuses to forgive. And isn't that exactly the scheme of the devil, who hates forgiveness and who would love for that person not to live in the victory of God's forgiveness and the blessing of the forgiveness of the Corinthian church, but isn't that the desire of the devil, to keep that person in despondency and darkness and despair so that he can be reclaimed by the evil one? Folks, American Christians, our actions are important. What we do as a church is important. Paul's tough love to the church at Corinth is this: you might as well continue to kick him to the curb so Satan can reclaim him in his sin. Because by not providing him fellowship after his repentance and seeking forgiveness, by not responding to him in comfort, by not responding to him in love, then that's exactly what this church is going to do. That's what Paul is telling the Corinthian church. Folks, being a forgiving body is not lip service that we give to Jesus. It has to be something that is heartfelt. It has to be something that is wrought in godly love. And it has to be something that is done in response of a person genuinely asking forgiveness from God and forgiveness from you. Are we able to give that kind of tough love? Are we able for our godly love to be tested in that way? Boy, I don't know. Sometimes it's days like this, I wish I was more like a TBN preacher and just preach all the good stuff, all the happy verses. But life isn't always all of that. Sometimes life gets messy, and we have to know how to respond to the messiness of life as well. And I am so thankful that God's Word does just that. Let's stand and pray. Father, today I am thankful. I am thankful for every soul that's in this room. I'm thankful for your Word that speaks to all of life. And I thank you for using jars of clay like us to represent you in the world this side of heaven. And Father, the Corinthian church, they weren't perfect. We're not perfect. But Father, I pray that we can learn from their example that just as their witness to Corinth was being hindered by their lack of grace and forgiveness to this repented person, Father, our witness can be hindered as well. So Lord, I ask that you embolden us with the Spirit, quicken us by His unction, and Father, to be the people, the church, that you'd want us to become, that you'd want us to represent you, and that we could have the fellowship with one another that you so desire for us to have. Father, as I come before you, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this time, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.